إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم اللهم اجعلنا من الذين أحسنوا والذين اتقوا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. I wanted to share a passage with you from Surah Ali Imran that I feel is very relevant and extremely pertinent to the kinds of situation Muslims are facing, especially if you're keeping up with what's going on in the news in regards to the construction of masajid in certain places, in regards to how certain Christian groups are celebrating the desecration of Allah's book. These are painful things to hear over and over again, and these discussions, and especially when you hear disturbing statistics. I was actually speaking to a reporter from NPR not too long ago, and even the reporter was shocked that two-thirds of Americans are opposed to the building of the masjid downtown, that masjid which has been there for 25, 30 years already. But there are two-thirds of Americans are opposed to the idea, and you would think in a country that is built upon the idea of religious tolerance and freedom, this kind of a statistic would be shocking. But it is in fact the case, and even in places that you would consider are more open-minded and cosmopolitan, like New York City itself, even the statistics in New York City are the same. Two-thirds of the people are against it. But we shouldn't be surprised or hurt by this, actually. The first reason we shouldn't be surprised is that the people that don't believe, especially those who have animosity against believers and Islam, they have certain principles that they live by. We have the principles of Islam and they have their own principles. But when it comes to dealing with the Muslims and when it comes to dealing with Islam, you will find the forces of kufr will compromise their own principles. They will compromise their own principles. The Quraysh would never attack one of their own. This is one of their own principles. They would never do so. They would be willing to spill blood for one of their own. But never ever would they consider expelling or attacking one of their own. Except when it comes to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with him. Why? That's their principle. Tribe comes before everything. For the Quraysh, their religion is their tribe. That's what it is. But when it comes to dealing with the Muslims, they're willing to compromise that principle. When it comes for Fir'aun, attacking someone who has been raised in his own house is humiliating. He will never do so, except when he's pushed to the point where he has to compromise his own principle against Musa alayhi salam. He's willing to do so. So we shouldn't be surprised. كَذَلِكَ الطُّغْيَانِ. This is how all forces of rebellion are. When they compromise their own principles, we shouldn't get all fired up about it. This is what we should expect. This is what Allah has taught us to expect. And so instead of worrying about what they are doing, we should be more concerned about what we are doing. And what's our responsibility? What are we supposed to be doing? Allah Azza wa Jal says in this ayah, this has to do with the battle of Uhud, but the ayat have universal lessons in them. Those who responded, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, those who responded to Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ, even after the injury had afflicted them. Even after they were injured. This specifically is talking about in the battle of Uhud, when the Muslims had suffered extreme injuries and defeat, and the Quraysh had left, then a rumor spread that the Quraysh are coming back for round two, because they're thinking Muslims are injured, might as well come back and finish them off. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the companions who are injured, who are deep, their morale is gone, they've just suffered this enormous defeat, and he tells them, let's pack up, let's go. We're going to go after them instead of them coming after us. With our injured soldiers and battered warriors, we're going to go after the Quraysh. Can you imagine? Their morale's already been destroyed, and now that they've taken this beating, they're supposed to go back after the enemy again. And even at that point, some Sahaba got up and said, let's go. And so Allah says, those who responded to Allah and the Messenger, even after injury had touched them. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوُوا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those who excelled from among them, they displayed excellence in character when they stood alongside the Messenger, even in such impossible circumstances. And then he says, وَاتَّقَوُوا. It illustrates that not only were they committed to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, but they only feared Allah. They didn't fear the enemy. They didn't fear him. And for these people, there's enormous reward. أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ. Listen to this, see if this sounds relevant. These are the people who other people said to them. People around them said this to them. Hypocrites said this to them. People of the book said this to them. What did they say? إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. People are gathered up against you. You should be afraid of them. This is what the Muslims were being told. People are rallying against you. The numbers are against you. Forces are aligning with each other, all standing united against you. You should be afraid of that. You should be worried. Now what is the response Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us of these people? فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When they heard these words that we should be afraid of the people and the people are gathering against us, it increased them in their iman even more. It increased them in their iman even more. And then they responded by saying, Allah is enough for us. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And what an awesome caretaker of our issue, our affairs. Our matters, our situation, the one taking care of it is not our strategy or ourselves, it is Allah. He's enough for us. So this statement and this situation where people are gathered against the Muslims, for a true believer, this is a situation where their iman goes up instead of going down. Their depression goes away. They are reminded of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. It is because of this attitude, there's a fa here. Fa as-sababiyya in the beginning of this ayah. Allah says, because of that, then, therefore, they returned by the blessing of Allah, no harm touched them. The previous ayah was telling us, people are gathered against you, they're going to get you, you should be worried, you should be afraid. And Allah said, because they said Allah is enough for us, because they said that, Allah returned them back and no harm touched them at all. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. And they, as they had pursued the favor of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, that's the only thing they were pursuing. Instead of pursuing their protection, they were pursuing making Allah happy. That was the concern they had. And because of that, Allah says, and Allah is the possessor of the great favor. Allah Himself is the possessor of the great favor. What I'm trying to tell you is, before we talk about a strategy on how to respond to these kinds of criticisms and these kinds of attacks in the media and these kinds of, you know, atrocious behaviors towards Muslims and attacks on masajid all over the country, before we even begin to understand how to respond, the first thing that has to respond is the heart of the believer. Because until the heart of the believer is not turned back to Allah, Allah's help does not come. And Allah's guarantee that harm will not touch you, that does not come until we, from our bottom of our hearts, we say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. We no longer fear these attacks. Until that happens, we cannot help expect the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. And until that happens, no matter what strategies we make and what media responses we come up with and what press releases we do, it will not help. Because that is not the formula of Allah's book. Allah Azza wa Jal then tells us, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. That in fact was shaitan instilling fear into you of his friends. When people came to you and said, you should be worried, you should be afraid, that wasn't people. People were just puppets for shaitan, who was putting fear into you. That's what he was trying to do. The ultimate goal of shaitan is to remove from you the fear of Allah. And so he wants to instill in you and me fear of other than Allah. That's what he wants to do. So, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. Then don't be afraid of them. وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Then be afraid of me, and be afraid of me if you are in fact believers, Allah says. If in fact there is iman inside of you, this fear shouldn't even exist inside of you. وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Subhanallah, this is the word of Allah, you know, revealed at the time of the Messenger, and it seems like Allah is addressing our situation. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Don't let those who are making a lot of efforts in the agenda of kufr, in the agenda of disbelief, against Islam, against Iman, those who make these efforts, don't let them worry you. And he tells this to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension all of us. Don't let their efforts worry you. إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. They're never gonna, they for sure will never harm Allah at all. You have your hopes and expectations with Allah, and they can't cause Allah any harm, so what are you worried about? Why are you afraid? What's stressing you out? فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Now then Allah tells us, how come Allah allows them to make efforts in kufr? How come He allows them and continues to give them more leeway and doesn't punish them, and they continue to do more and more transgressions against Allah's deen? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah intends that they have not even a single portion, a little ounce in the hereafter. In other words, Allah lets them go, you want to dig your hole deeper, go ahead. So you get nothing at all. There is no ounce of mercy that you are worthy of in the next life. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they have, for them especially, is great punishment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Also those who purchased disbelief in exchange for belief, they will not be able to harm Allah either. What is Allah talking about? Two kinds of people here that ulama talk about in this ayah. Once again, the ayah says, Allah says, for sure, those who purchase disbelief and sold their belief, they will not be able to harm Allah either. What groups are these? Two groups. One is the group of hypocrites, who on the face value, they believe, and they claim to believe, but inside, they don't fear Allah, they fear the people. These people, Allah, basically, they've sold their iman for kufr, even though it doesn't look like it on the outside. On the inside, Allah has passed His judgment on them. We cannot judge the outside, we cannot judge the inside, only Allah knows the inside, but Allah knows who He's talking to. And they better know that Allah knows they've made this sale. The other is, and this is a reality in our times, many, many people in flocks are using this situation in hopes of gaining some rapport and some eligibility in society. I know of several cases where people have left Islam in this country. Over the last couple of months I've met people that have left Islam, and when you talk to them seriously, what you come to find out is it is not intellectual reasons. It is not because they're not convinced of this deen. It is none of these things. There's some benefit and some agenda that they're looking for. Like for instance, I met a guy who used to be a Muslim and he became a Christian. Why? Because he had immigration problems. And the church is now sponsoring him and this and that and the other. And when you talk to him, how can you betray Allah like that? Brother, they're taking care of, don't call me brother, man. You're not brother anymore. I'm not your brother. You know, they're taking care of my immigration. That's why I pray to Jesus in this. And SubhanAllah. You'll find these people too. And when the pressure comes and Muslims are being, the word Muslim has become, I was talking to a social worker and they told me the word Muslim is the new N-word in America. You know, recently there was a, you know, originally when the elections were happening, a survey was conducted. How many people think the president is a Muslim? 10% of America. Right before this masjid incident happened, CNN conducted another survey. 18%. 18% believe the president's Muslim, because that's a really bad thing, right? We're not saying he's Muslim, but that paranoia is there. Oh my God, what if he is? So now the White House had to give a press release. No, he's a devout Christian. He prays every day to Christ. They actually had to give a press release 2 days ago. Why? Because they think Islam is something dirty and disgusting. If a synagogue is being built, or a Hindu temple is being built, or an atheist center is being built, you know, you couldn't care less. They could not care less. But when the house of Allah is being built, forget freedom of religion. Forget tolerance. Forget the land of opportunity. Forget the land of, you know, a coexistence. Forget all of these, you know, these empty slogans. No, why don't they move five blocks over? By the way, they're already five blocks over. If you didn't know. This is on Broadway, this is not on Ground Zero. You know? So we should be angry about this, but at the same time, we should know where to place our hopes. Where to place our hopes. And what is our responsibility? Let's keep reading, inshallah ta'ala. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Don't let the disbelievers dare assume that the extensions we have given them are good for themselves. The opportunities Allah has given them to do more and more against this deen, they think that this is a good opportunity for them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And we are only extending for them so that they They increase in their sins and they have humiliating punishment. Allah didn't say great punishment this time, He said humiliating punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll understand why in a moment. I'll skip an ayah because of the shortage of time. The ayah I really want, actually I should not skip it. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Now Allah turns His attentions to the believers. And He says, why are we going through such a hard time? Why are people on our case? Allah says, Allah is not going to be one to leave the believers be on what you are. Meaning the way you are, He's not going to leave you like that. Why? He'll explain. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Until He distinguishes the filthy from the good. In other words, the Muslims are all one big body. But when tough times come and people rally against us, the hypocrites will be removed from our ranks. They will sell their iman from kufr. And finally, the filth from the ummah will be removed and only the good and pure will remain. You and I are going through difficult times because this is Allah's way of cleansing the ummah. Allah will not leave you the way you are until the filthy is removed from the pure. And the way that to do that is to put us through difficulty. Subhanallah. This is something Allah talks about even with the Sahaba. Even with the Sahaba. And Allah Azza wa Jal, when He talked about the battle of Uhud and how come the believers lost. You know, how come the believers suffered this defeat? Allah made sure we understand. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. It is not that Allah loves wrongdoers. No, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You know, tamhis in Arabic is when you burn gold and you get rid of the impurities from gold. Because you can't scrub it out. It's deeply embedded, so you have to burn it under extreme temperatures so the impurities are removed. Allah gives that analogy for the believers. Until you are burned, put under extreme circumstances, until then the hypocrisy from within you will not be removed. Until then you will suffer. So this is a good thing for this ummah. These trials are a purification for this ummah. May Allah accept these trials from us and may Allah make us of those who stand firm in these trials and are from the good and pure. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. And Allah is not one to give you news of the unseen either. You know, some people say, when are these trials going to end? You know, when is it going to end? This is from the ghaib. Don't worry about it. This is not your problem. Allah will never give you that news. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي رُسُولَهُ مِنْ رُسُولِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Then He says, however, Allah chooses from His messengers whoever He wants. In other words, when times become difficult, hold on to the legacy of the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And then believe in Allah and His messengers. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And if you continue to have faith, if you continue to have iman, and you truly fear and are cautious and aware of Allah, then for you there will be great reward as well. For you there will be great reward. Allah takes a situation which is negative, and He's making us not think about the problem, He's making us think about the great reward. He's turning a negative situation into a positive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah, before this discussion actually, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned something very, very heavy. And I want to share this ayah with you. I'm skipping around, inshallah, towards the end of the same surah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. You are all, for sure, no doubt about it, going to be tested. Tested in what? In your monies and in your own selves. Your money will be in danger and yourselves will be in danger. You will feel threatened. You will feel loss of people. You'll feel these trials financially and socially. You want to put it in modern terms, financially and socially. فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Then what does he say? وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You will no doubt about it, definitely, I swear to it, you will definitely hear from those who were given the book much before you. Who is he talking about? The Jews and the Christians. The Israelites and the Christians. He's talking about them. Then he says, وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And those who have committed shirk. He's talking about the Quraysh. He says, no doubt about it, you will get to hear from them, أَذًا كَثِيرًا. A lot of painful words. You'll get to hear a lot of painful things from them. Is that happening today? Are we hearing painful things from those communities? Are they saying horrendous things about the Book of Allah, about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the Muslims in general? They'll come out and say, all Muslims are terrorists. And the ones that aren't terrorists that are talking about, no, this is a hijacking of our religion, we don't believe in these crimes against innocent people, etc., etc. Oh, these people are just lying to protect the terrorists. They'll come out and say that. They'll say horrendous things about Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to hear these things. But now Allah says, now that you'll get to hear them, what should be your reaction? What should be your reaction? And this is where we have to be harsh on ourselves. And this is the last part of my khutbah, where we have to be tough on our own selves. Muslims nowadays, we have become nothing but emotional puppets. They know exactly how we're going to respond. And they do things to us, so we work exactly according to plan. Come out and burn a couple of cars in the Muslim world, or protest and yell and scream. We don't act in a calm, collected, calculated fashion, which is the way of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you hear empty rhetoric like this, these attacks against Islam, what should you do? Allah Himself says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And if you're able to be patient, patience actually means controlling your emotions, holding yourself back, and continuing to fear Allah, وَتَتَّقُوا, then this is from the most noble of deeds you can do. Our patience speaks volumes. Our patience speaks volumes. Our yelling and screaming is more detrimental. But after we are patient, what are we supposed to do in addition? This is the last part of my khutbah. We are supposed to be patient. We are supposed to continue to have taqwa with Allah Azza wa Jal. But, you know, we can talk about how important it is for our masajid to represent the teachings of this deen and to educate our local communities. It is absolutely a critical job of every masjid, if not every Muslim, to at least represent the teachings of their deen in their vicinity, among their co-workers, with their business partners, with their friends, with their neighbors. And if you can't do that as an individual, the masjid is supposed to help you. We have a da'wah program here in the masjid. That's its purpose, to help educate people, your co-workers, your friends, your neighbors, about the teachings of this deen. About removing the fear that shaitan has put inside of them, of this religion. This is not new. Shaitan did this at the time of the Messenger too, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, the Quraysh would go around saying, don't listen to this man, you'll go crazy if you listen to him. If you listen to him, your family will get destroyed, he'll do magic on you. It's like a virus, it'll affect you. They would instill fear into the population. So don't blame the population, that's just shaitan doing his job. We just have to do a better job, that's all. And we have to do our job, we have to clarify this deen. And so in this regard, why must we clarify our deen? I leave you with this ayah. This ayah belongs to Surah Al-Baqarah, where this subject actually began. And Allah Azza wa Jal in this surah, He tells us something very serious about the people of the book. Specifically the Israelites, Bani Israel. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. No doubt about it. Those who hide what we have, who continue to hide what we have sent down from the clear proofs and guidance. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Even after we have clarified it in the book for the people. Allah says, I sent a book down with proofs and guidance, and people, some people are hiding it. Some people are hiding it. What happens to these people who try to hide what Allah sent down? أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Those are the people that Allah Himself curses, and there are those who are created just to curse them. Ulama comment, this is angels. Allah created specific angels whose only job is to curse people who hide what Allah has sent down. This apparently seems like it's talking about the people of the book. Let's read further. This is what they do, but what's the opposite of it? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. Two things have been put in muqarana, in comparison. On the one hand is people hiding the book. What's on the opposite? Except those who repented and corrected their behavior, aslahu wa bayyanu, and clarified the book. They clarified the book. In other words, unless we are people of tawbah and we correct our behavior and we clarify this book, wa bayyanu, we clarify the religion, unless we do that, we are guilty of the opposite, which is what? Hiding the book. Either you're hiding the book or you're clarifying, there's no in between. I don't talk about it, that doesn't mean I'm hiding it. Yes, it is. Because Allah only gives two options. You can be from group A or group B. Group A is the one who Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself curses, and angels are created just to curse them. But then there are those who realize, no, they need to be making tawbah to Allah. They need to be correcting their behavior. And then they need to be clarifying this religion. And what a beautiful sequence. First you fix your relationship with Allah. Then you fix yourself, aslahu. You fix your own character. How are you going to talk to people about Islam if you don't represent anything from Islam? You have to correct yourself. You fix your character. And then you clarified it. وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Those are the people whose tawbah I accept. Those are the people who I turn back towards, Allah says. And Allah normally doesn't say I. Normally Allah says we. Except in cases of special mercy, He says I. Well, they get special mercy from Allah just for clarifying Allah's book. Even the smallest efforts to say something about Islam, to see as much as a minaret, to see as much as a poster on a bus, to see a flyer, to see a woman in hijab in the Walmart, or to see a man in a beard, to see that much, there's a group among the disbelievers who can't even stand that much. They can't stand it. They can't stand the sight of Islam. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ What is this nur of Allah? They try to extinguish the light of Allah. The light is any the smallest manifestation of this deen. They can't even see the smallest sign of it. You'll see the face turn. You'll see the expressions change when they see the slightest signs of it. But Allah has given us His guarantee. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Allah will complete His light. وَلَا يَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ Allah will accept no alternative but to complete His light. No matter how much disbelievers are disgusted by it, no matter how many talk shows they dedicate to it, no matter how much hate they spew out of their mouths, it will not change. Allah will complete His light. The question is, are you and I going to be part of that struggle or not? Are we going to get that great reward Allah talked about? Are we going to be the people who earn Allah's tawbah? These are efforts that are not an option anymore. It's not a nice feature to have in a masjid. This is the necessity of this ummah. And we're not doing it so people think of us as nicer people. No, we're doing it because we don't want to be under the curse of Allah. We're doing it because we have an obligation to clarify this deen. We're not afraid of the people. If your intentions and mine are, no, we really need to talk about Islam because they're getting a really bad opinion of Islam and we need to be more likable in the media. If that's your intention, that's the wrong intention. That means you're afraid of the people. We have to, if we're really going to do da'wah sincerely and successfully, in a way that لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ No harm touched them. No harm will touch us. When will that happen? When we pursue the pleasure of Allah, then the protection will come from Allah. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ That's what we have to do. I sincerely pray that you and I are able to be carriers of this deen. And I sincerely pray that our young people, they don't look at their Islam as something that's humiliating, but they see it as a source of pride. They stand firm with it. And that we're able to use this masjid and all the masajid in the area, rather all the masajid in the country, if not the Western Muslim world, as centers of da'wah, as places where people can come and get a clear message of Islam, and not that people have to come to us. In addition, we go out to the people. We go out and present at the libraries and at the universities. We go and knock the doors of our neighbors and invite them over. You know, have them come see what we're about. This is part of our job. And not because of any political motive, but because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal demands from us to do. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to live up to the standards that He has set for us. May Allah make us true to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us sincere and love and follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد قول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا
start prayer. We're going to a series I'm conducting it on Surah Al-Baqarah, you know, a little bit of the surah every day. So if you'd like to join with your families, inshallah, we'd like to learn something to cross this one as well.
Just give me inshallah 2-3 minutes. Brother Numan has done a great job of explaining why we need Dawah in this country. And what we're going to do, inshallah, is we're going to do a quick campaign. I request brothers and sisters to just take it easy, inshallah, and just bear with us. So inshallah, what we're trying to do, inshallah, we're trying to get about 100 brothers and sisters to give $30 a month. For $30 a month, you can contribute to go towards Dawah, to the open houses. The open house that we're doing over here, we did one for the Hispanic community. Does anyone know how many, what is the population of the Hispanic community in Texas? What percentage is it? It's 30%. So inshallah, we can reach out to the Hispanic community and inshallah, they accept Islam. We have 30% of them. That inshallah, that will may Allah may accept them. So let's start inshallah, let's get to 100, let's make it happen in Ramadan and get your tremendous amount of awards. The Dawah community is doing the job on your behalf. So let's start inshallah. The first brother or sister. $30 a month. 1, 2, 3, let's give 4. Let's count it. 5, 6, 7. Anyone else? 8. Any brother? 9. Let's 10. Thalia brothers? 11. Anyone else? 12. I was just reading the statistics, 13 yesterday in China, there is about 21 million Muslims. How did 21 million Muslims come in China? The Muslims went there, the Sahaba, one of the Sahaba, went there and just spread Islam. So, what we have to plant the seeds and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest. And I would like to see more in the hands, please. We have 12, 13. $30 a month is not for hurting brothers.